Good morning. Almost got slid back in the chair before the lights came up. My name is Kim Feld, and I am part of the staff here at New Hope. And this weekend, Jim Morgans and I, Jim is also on staff here. Jim is our director of pastoral care. We are sitting in for Rusty. He and Becky are out on a much needed, much deserved break. And so they're going to be gone for a couple weeks here with us. But tonight, we're going to be talking about a subject that's a little bit difficult. One of the areas that Jim works with here at New Hope is with our Grief Share program. And many of you have benefited from being in Grief Share with Jim. And so today we're going to tackle the topic of grief. Now, we're not making light of this topic at all by using the backdrop of a TV series to talk about it, because we understand that grief is deeply personal and profoundly difficult to go through, but it's something that we've all experienced or will experience at some point in our lives. There's a lot of different levels of grief. So before we begin tonight, I don't know why I keep saying tonight. This morning, before we begin this morning, I want to open us up in a word of prayer, and then we're going to dig in a little bit to a series called WandaVision. Okay, so let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you are here with us, and that you know us, and you love us, and you know everything that is coming our way. Father, our hearts are heavy with so much heaviness going on in our world right now. We've touched on Haiti and Afghanistan this morning, and just pray for your peace, your comfort. We pray for the families of our servicemen and women who are grieving the loss this weekend from the bombings that happened this week. God, we just ask that you bring peace and comfort, that you guide our time here today, and thank you that you do love us. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so WandaVision is a show that aired on Disney Plus, if some of you guys have seen it. Now, I've talked to a lot of people about WandaVision, and I've gotten one of two responses. Either they say, we watched the first couple episodes and couldn't make heads or tails of it, so we didn't watch it anymore. Or they watched the whole thing and they loved it.
Need a show of hands. Yeah. Who has watched WandaVision? Oh, we have a few. Okay, who watched just the first two shows?
Okay. All right. So WandaVision is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Wanda Maximoff is the main character, and she first appeared in the Marvel movie Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And her true love, Vision, who is also part of the series, was first introduced in Avengers Age of Ultron. So Wanda was raised in a war-torn country, and her escape was watching American sitcoms on DVD, okay? So that was kind of how she comforted herself in her surroundings. Wanda is someone who has experienced great loss in her life. She lost her parents, she lost her brother, and finally, she loses her true love, Vision. Now, the series WandaVision is about Wanda, and how in her grief she's attempted to create the perfect world for herself and for Vision. So the series opens with her marriage to Vision, and you can see that up on the screen, and it starts in black and white. The first episode is reminiscent of The Dick Van Dyke Show and I Love Lucy, and each subsequent episode is from a different decade with a classic TV sitcom that they use to portray that decade. Okay, so that's a little bit of a background for those of you that may not be into Marvel and know who all of these characters are. So let's go ahead and get started. Jim, why don't you kick us off with talking about grief. What is grief? What's grief like?
I don't think there's one word that could describe it, but let's just start right here. God took earth and he breathed into it and he made man. And from man, he made woman. So God gave us life. And life is just filled with adventure. It fills with opportunities. It's filled with experiences. And it starts when you're born. You're cuddled by your parents. You're taken care of by your parents. You're loved by your parents. You're nurtured. You're guided. All those things. Every one of us has experienced those things. And in life, we just continue to experience new things Some are sad, some are happy, some are joyful, some make us angry, frustrated. We chase the American dream just like the picture was depicting. You know, we have these expectations, we have these desires, we have this entitlement that we think we should have these things, and we chased after things. And as we go down the road of life, we gather all these things and we start connecting to them. And one of those most important things is our relationships. And it could be family, it could be husband and wife, it could be, you know, extended family, people at work. But we have so many things that we've acquired in life, and they are our own. And those things we don't want to let go of. We have reached out for those things in life, and we've grabbed hold of them. And you know what? We don't want to let go. We hold on to them so tight, and we don't want to let go. So grief is kind of like that. We put all our effort into what life is all about, the American dream, success, you know, relationships, good relationships, building a good family, having things to take care of our family, protect them, all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you what happens. That's what happens. Everything that was knitted together so craftfully, a lot of times by God's hands, the things that we love, the things that we are so enjoy, the happiness that we experience, all of a sudden it's just ripped in half. And we're left with ragged edges, torn corners, and all kinds of problems. Now the challenge is, we don't know how to deal with that. We don't understand it because that's not what we've been trained to do. But that's grief in a nutshell. When we have something that we so desire, so enjoy, are so accustomed to, it is just ripped from us. And then we have these feelings of sadness, loneliness, depression, denial. You actually live in a world of jello. Your whole thought process, your life actually stops, and you have these feelings like you don't want to, you have no reason to continue on. Because the thing that was so most important to you is gone, and you can't get it back. You depended on it, you were used to it. You know, I'll be married 42 years this year. I am so accustomed. The Bible says two shall be one. After 15 years, you truly become two, become one. I don't know what I'd do without my wife and all the stuff that she does in my life. And that happens to people all the time, torn apart. So these are some of the things that describe grief. People that have experienced grief know exactly what I'm talking about. You walk in a grocery store, and all of a sudden you're crying. You get ambushed because of a sound, because of a smell, because of an outfit, because of anything that reminds you of your lost loved one. And all of a sudden you're crying. You're feeling good one minute, next minute you're crying. You don't understand it. You can't think right. You're like, the world's moving on so fast and you're just standing still. Why are they moving so fast? I don't want to move that fast. I want to stay right here. I want my loved one back. That's what grief's all about. It's painful. So a lot of times people will do unfortunate things. They will take it into their own hands and do things that hurt themselves. Sometimes it's self-medication. Sometimes it's isolation where they just shut themselves off. They don't want to talk to people, don't want to associate. It's too painful. I should tell you, I lost a son back in 89. I think that's why the Lord led me into this direction of teaching and helping. My son was 7, his name was Ian. He had leukemia. He was 3 years at Children's Hospital Protocol, but he had complications of being immune deficient, and he caught the chicken pox, and that took his life. As a young man, that was extremely difficult for me to experience. I wasn't in good spirits for a long time. It was difficult. But in those emotions that are up and down like a roller coaster, we make mistakes. And some of those mistakes like I said, self-medication, isolation, just all those things that hurt us. And please remember that this is so emotional, it's relational, it's spiritual, it's mental, and it's physical. When you go through grief, you're exhausted. You don't know why. I want to sleep all the time. It's just all these things wrapped up. So we have a perfect clip here, and Kim's going to set it up. But this is Wanda's reaction to her grief.
Yeah, so this first clip that we're going to take a look at is how Wanda allows her grief and her anger to take hold. So let's watch this.
Wanda, welcome home.
Okay, so that's a really powerful picture there. We have a lay counseling ministry here at New Hope, and within that ministry, we talk about our lives as being like stories. And we talk about, we have the external story, and that's the our history, the things that are currently going on with us or have happened to us in our lives. And then we have the internal story, and the internal story is how we make sense of the external. So it could be our strategies that we set up to deal with things that have happened to us. And then we have our transcendent story. And the transcendent story is when we recognize that we're part of a bigger story, and that's God's story. So ultimately, that's where we all want to land. But sometimes it can be easy for Christians to want to jump over that middle process and get to the transcendent piece and not do the working through the grief. And so that's what we want to talk about next, is this whole working in between. And so, Jim, do you want to address that for us? So how do we work through our grief?
Yeah, it was quite apparent that Wanda didn't work through her grief. She created a fantasy and brought vision back into her life. And we would all love to do that, but it's not possible. When we lose someone, we deal with grief. The first thing that I think we have to remember is that you have to identify the fact that, yes, I am grieving. You have to accept the fact that I have symptoms of grieving. And if you can't accept that, then you're just going to keep stuffing them and hiding them and pushing them under, and you can't do that. Grief is a process. And grief is something that we have in our life because God made it. God teaches us to love Him and to love others. And when we have love, we have grief. Let's put up that slide. It says, without love, there is no grief. The only way to avoid grief is to never love. But you don't have to walk through the grief journey alone. And that's partially why we have Grief Share here. And I'll talk about that a little bit more. So it's okay to grieve. You have to accept that first. In God's word, Jesus wept. When Lazarus died, Jesus wept. He shed tears just as we shed tears. So it's important that we understand it's okay. The song that we sang today, I am not alone. God is with me. This is the scripture. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23:4. You can't stuff grief in a box. You can't shove it in the closet. You can't walk around it. You can't walk away from it. If you want to hopefully heal and process from grief and not get stuck in your grief, you have to walk through it. And it is, well, shadow of death. It's extremely painful. It's extremely difficult. You are going to face tremendous challenges. The sad thing is that there's no timetable. It's unpredictable. It's all over the board. The first year could be pretty bad. The second year could be worse. Sometimes it's 5 years. If you lose a child like I did, they call that shadow grief because it seems to last longer. That's not supposed to happen. I'm supposed to pass before my son. You know, that's just the way we think and process. So you can't skip it or stuff it. So you have to take the steps of accepting it first, and then there's opportunities. You don't do it alone. Number one, there's God. And that's the source of Grief Share and what we do here. God is our source. He's the healer. He's the provider. But you need to lean into the grief. That means you don't walk away from it or avoid it. You actually have to experience it. And in our study, we encourage people to actually take time when you get home from work and spend a half hour processing your feelings. You know, people will not understand you when you're in grief. They have different expectations. They expect you to move on very quickly. Why aren't you? That was like 3 months ago. Aren't you okay by now? That's not the way it is. It doesn't work that way. Every relationship is so unique, so interesting, and so intertwined. And when that is ripped away, who knows how long it's going to take to repair it. So you press in on it. Take time to grieve. There's one phrase we use. It's do the next best thing. And that could be just brushing your teeth or getting a drink of water. Just do the next best thing. Why? Because you don't feel like doing anything. You don't feel like getting out of bed. You don't feel like answering a phone. You just don't feel like doing anything. Time actually stops. You feel like you're in a coma. People that have experienced grief know exactly what I'm talking about. It's real, okay? We encourage don't make big decisions. Some people will move, buy a big house, make a change jobs, get into a new relationship if you lost a spouse too quickly. Those are sometimes, man, your heart has to heal. A lot of things have to change before you can do things like that. So we recommend slow down. You have to walk through that grief first. Friends are so important. We are so blessed to have a church community where we have friends, where people can support us and encourage us and walk alongside us. Sometimes for a person that's in grief, all you need to do is listen or give a hug. You really don't know what to say because you don't know what they're feeling or what they're experiencing. So just being in their presence and just saying, hey, can I help you? Praying for them, those kind of things. So friends are very important, especially church community. For people that have lost someone in a church community, getting back into church is a tough thing. But you really have to push yourself to get back into church. Fellowship is vital. You don't do it alone. Isolation. Wanda isolated herself from the world, created a fantasy world. She made it like it used to be. We don't have the power she has. It wasn't the right thing to do, but she had power to do that. And of course, God is right there all the time in the midst of it. He is concerned about our despair, our hurts, and our struggles. He is with us. He loves us. Why do I know that? Because he sent his son, and he experienced death of his son. He paid the price that had to be paid, the sacrifice, so that we could have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So God is with us when we experience grief. And sometimes we push away. The Bible's not making sense. I can't do it. It doesn't work right now. It's difficult. So eventually, you start letting things sift into your heart and your mind. And you see little snippets of healing and, oh, I feel okay today. But then tomorrow can be terrible. But you do realize, if you keep your journal, especially if you do something like that, you can see the changes in your experience of grief. And you can realize, I'm making some progress. Our grief share study is 13 weeks long. The video is about 40 minutes. We have great discussion. We have a workbook that goes with it. It's a great experience for people that are willing to step into that, because you develop a support group. You learn tremendous things about what grief's all about. That's a lot of study time. And then we build some great relationships in the midst of doing that. The people in the groups that I've led, man, they're my friends. They're my friends now, and it's really cool. So I would encourage people. Let's move to the next clip, because this one is all about Wanda, I believe, realizing what her grief is. Sorry.
Oh, Wanda, moving on up. So where are we now?
The Avengers compound. It was the first home Vision and I ever shared. Pietro was dead, and I was in a new country. I was all alone.
Vision?
I apologize. I don't mean to intrude.
You don't?
Well, I suppose, yes, I did intend to come in here.
And now?
And, well, whatever is your preference. It is funny because of the grievous injury the man just suffered.
No, he's not. Really injured.
Ah. How can you be certain?
It's not that kind of show.
Wanda, I don't presume to know what you're feeling, but I would like to know, should you wish to tell me, should that be of some comfort to you?
What makes you think that talking about it would bring me comfort?
Oh, see, I read that...
The only thing that would bring me comfort is seeing him again. Sorry. I'm so tired. It's just like this wave washing over me again and again. It knocks me down, and when I try to stand up, it just comes for me again. And I can't. It's just gonna drown me.
No. No, it won't.
How do you know?
Well, because it can't all be sorrow, can it? I've always been alone, so I don't feel the lack. It's all I've ever known. I've never experienced loss because I've never had a loved one to lose. But what is grief if not love, persevering.
Oh.
Okay, so we're gonna move towards closing things up. We're gonna skip the last clip, but eventually Wanda does get to a place of acceptance and surrender. So Jim, why don't you talk to us about that for a couple minutes?
Okay, first of all, let me apologize. You get me started on this stuff, I'm a talker, so I've used up most of my time, but this is the most important part. I don't think we can progress forward unless we learn how to surrender. You know, we've been given so much by God and Christ, and we need to surrender a lot of things to Him. Some of those things are, you know, we have to surrender those dreams and plans that we had, those expectations that were wrapped around our loved one. We have to surrender dependence on the things that could hurt us. Sometimes we get into trouble, and we have to surrender those things to God. You know, we have a CR program here that helps people with that. They get into the wrong habits, and they need to surrender those things. We need to surrender our demand for answers like Job. Job asked 16 times, why? Finally, he realized that, okay, I heard about you, God, but now I see you. He had a change in perspective of who God was. We went through a great series just recently with Pastor Rusty, all about the Almighty, the Shepherd, the Healer, the Provider. God is so much to us, and we have to realize who God is in our life and what He's given us. It says here, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed, Psalm 139, 16. God knows how many hairs are on my head. He takes care of the sparrows and dresses the lilies, and He knows the day I'm born, the day I'm done. God giveth, God taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He is the Almighty that rules and reigns and sustains all that we know. He has given us the breath we breathe and the beat in our heart. And He said He's going to take care of it. He's going to fix it. And He did that when He came to earth, the incarnation, as a baby, and grew to teach and to model. And then he bore the pain of being crucified, and He died, and then He rose again. And that's exactly what we're able to follow when He's our Savior. We're going to have pain. We're going to struggle. We're going to die. But you know what? When these bodies die, the soul is not dead. In Luke, it says, dear friends, don't be afraid of these who want to murder you. This is our Bible study this week. That's the body that we feed all through life. It says they can only kill the body. They have no power over the soul. Only God has power over the soul. And Jesus paid the price. And we are going to live with Jesus and be in heaven through all eternity. It's done. He's working on it. And then this is what He says when He's coming back again. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then He said, write it down, for these words are trustworthy and true. God has it all worked out. We just have trouble trusting God and believing that He is in charge, because our world tells us that we're in control, and we can hold on, and not let go to anything we grasp in life. Well, here's the best part. This is Paul writing a letter to the Philippians in 3:8-14. It says, yes, no scripture on the screen for this one, sorry. Yes, all things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. All those things we've collected, all those relationships, all those loved ones, They're gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. It's a change of perspective. This body or this soul? The body can be killed and be done, but the soul cannot be killed. Where do we spend all our time? We feed the body. We don't feed the soul. We need to feed the soul, our relationship with Jesus Christ. It says here, I once thought I was going to... I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. Now, here's the best part that I like. I am not saying that I have this all together, that I have it made. Paul says, but I am well on my way, reaching out to Christ, who has so wonderfully reached out to me. So here's what it's like. Kim, this is what it's like when we first start meeting Jesus. Hi, Jesus. How are you doing? Everything okay? Not too close a relationship. Then we start getting closer and closer and closer. We're reaching out to him, and he's reaching out to us. And then it gets really locked in. And we take hold of Jesus. We think we're taking hold of him. He's really taking hold of us. And it's an incredible relationship. Those are the things that will get you through tough times in life. The tragedies, the sadness, the difficulties. You know, my heart breaks for the families. You know, the bombings last week. There's a lot of families that now are experiencing grief. My heart hurts for them because I know what it feels like. It just stops me. The only way we can get through it is by doing those things. Taking hold of Jesus, let him take hold of us in the process. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I'm so glad Jim is part of our team here, and he has obviously taken the comfort that God has given to him and is using it for others. So, Jim, why don't you close us up in prayer?
Father, a tough subject today because it really pierces our hearts when we've experienced grief. The sad thing is that we're all going to experience grief at some time in our lives. We can't avoid it. It's part of life. It's part of what you put in place. So, Father, today we ask that you take hold of us and allow us to take hold of you. Help us to become new people in Christ. Help us to take hold of the witness we should be sharing with others to teach them about Christ. Help us to be and take hold of the instrument that we're supposed to be, to serve you well. And, Father, most of all, let us take hold of the understanding of the resurrection, life with you through eternity, the gift that you've given us through your Son. We are so grateful today that we can open up this subject. We thank you for attentive ears and the time we spent together as we felt it, tried to understand it, and discussed it just a little bit more. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.